Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through your work with relevant, real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's October 30th, 2024, and we are here for The Hump.
Never gets old, does it?
Jimmy, are you ready to hump?
I'm ready for Halloween.
How about you? Halloweeny?
Halloween.
Okay. Well, my question for you is, how will your ability to hump be next Wednesday after a very important erection day?
You really put a lot of time and thought.
Do you think your poles will stand up after that? After going all night with Erection Day.
You know what? If I had have had a heads up that you were going to do this, I would have thought of a comeback. A comeback? Wow.
Well, listen, my friends, if you want a heads up, Blue Chew and the code Fightful will get you there. That's right, my friends. I know decisions can be hard around Erection Day, but there's no substitute for Blue Chew and the code Fightful. It's got the active ingredients that work on your schedule. Maybe you need that motivation. Maybe you need that performance. You need that top level performance, that main event performance, that presidential performance, all that good stuff. Well, guess what? Blue Chew and the code Fightful are going to get you there. You take their online quiz, or you meet with an online doctor, and if approved, it ships straight to your door. You don't have to go out in public to like wherever it is that you're voting and get this stuff, which I don't know how you would get it there anyway. You don't have to go to the pharmacy, anything like that. It ships straight to your door. And when you use the code Fightful, you get the first shipment free. Man, Jimmy, I don't think it's even a decision. I think 100% of the polls will result in Blue Chew running away with this one personally. And every state's a blue state when it comes to Blue Chew.
That's cute. I'm actually jealous of you because you guys get an election next week. And up here in Canada, we've been begging for an election, but our leader won't do it because he knows he's going to lose. We've been begging.
Listen, there's going to be a lot of people begging for an erection if you use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. That's for sure. But you ain't going to be one of them, my friends, because They're bringing it straight to you. You don't have to go anywhere. They're talking about in-person. This is in-person voting at its best right here. And by the end of the day, you're going to be saying, I did have sexual relations with that woman, and it was great, thanks to Blue Chew and the code Fightful.
Beautiful. Yeah, not going to be mailing that one in, eh, Sean? No mail-in ballots for that one.
I mean, listen, yeah. They're going to mail it straight to you, Jimmy.
There you go. Well, maybe not to me. I don't know if they deliver to
Canada.
Some
stuff is going to get filled in. I don't know if it's ballots, but.
Okay. I don't know how I'm possibly going to transition from that, but I wanted to start with a public service announcement. And like I said, it's going to be hard to transition from that, but I'm going to try my best. I want to do a quick public service announcement because I'm hoping that maybe somebody will see this, that this kind of pertains to, and maybe it'll smarten them up a little bit. We live in a world now, Sean, where some people will do anything for social media clout, right? They'll do anything for views, clicks, likes. No, you're not to this level. No.
No, I'm not. I used to think I was at that level until I saw some of the things that people would do.
Well, I think you know where I'm going with this. So some people, in order to get that social media clout, they'll even risk their lives. And I think all of us have probably seen some of these videos in social media where people will post their speedometer. Have you seen this, Sean? People will post a video where they're racing down a street and they'll post their speedometer because they want you to see how fast they're going.
Yeah.
And I don't know why people do it, but they do it. They think it's a good idea. They just, that social media cloud is like a commodity to them. They just have to have it. Last night, which would have been October 29th, a member of my family, my wife's cousin, did just that. He posted a live stream on Facebook showing himself driving in excess of 100 miles per hour, which for any Canadian out there is over 160 kilometers per hour. And unfortunately, on that live stream, it ended with a crash. And we found out minutes later that he passed away in that crash.
It's horrible.
So, yeah. And so those types of stunts, they're not going to get you famous. They're going to get you killed. And so I wanted to mention this on this podcast because we have a bit of a platform here. I wanted to mention this hoping that if anybody either does this or has thought about doing it, that could be the end result. Be smart, be safe. Think about your loved ones before you decide to do something like that. And that's my message, man. That's my message. I couldn't believe it when my wife told me that. She was
really,
obviously, she was really broken up about it. And I couldn't believe it. That, I mean, this was not a 19-year-old. This guy was in his 40s.
You know 40s? I
mean? Yes.
Damn.
Like, man. People sometimes just want that social media clout so badly that this is the stuff they'll do. Have you heard about the people? Have you heard about the people that will climb up skyscrapers and then they put pictures on Instagram? And there's a documentary on Netflix about this couple that met that way because there's this online community for this, right? And there's a scene in that documentary where she's talking on the phone to a guy that's part of that community. And she's like, how is so-and-so doing? Oh, he fell and died. How is so-and-so doing? He fell and died too. You know what I mean? Like clicks and views and it's just not worth your life. It's not worth your life. So if anybody out there has either done this or they thought about it, think about the consequences.
I completely agree. Guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are taking your questions. Obviously, we have a few subjects that we are going to talk about, but let's get those super chats and humper chats in. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Please share our videos, share the channel. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. Definitely want to expand our YouTube and all that. But hey, a couple other things you all might not know if you just watch on YouTube. We stream everywhere, whether it be Twitter, X, Twitch, Facebook. We're all over the place. But we're also on podcast platforms everywhere. So if you've got Amazon, Apple, any of that stuff, we got it. If you need to download it directly, FightfulPods.com. And of course, we thank our wonderful sponsors. But there is another very serious subject to talk about. Unfortunately, Chris Bay in the hospital. Fightful had reported that he underwent emergency surgery on Sunday night. And there's a lot of questions like, how did it happen? I saw one very insensitive dumbass saying, oh, well, he's doing a bunch of flips and all that stuff. It was a fucking neck breaker. Mm-hmm. It was a neck breaker. One of our Fightful Select subscribers were there and said Ace and Bay were going for the 1-2 sweep. Bay was going for the Art of Finesse, which was a cutter. And Matt Hardy went to reverse with a cutter of his own. The top of Chris's head hit the top of Matt's shoulder very hard. The ref went quickly to check on him. And he was talking, looked like his hands were moving. They finished the match. And then the match ended. They canceled everything else. They did their post-show meet and greet stuff that wasn't involved with him. He was taken to the hospital immediately. They did not know, talent did not know how serious it was at that moment. It ended up being very serious, and man, it's good that, you know, he seems to be in good spirits. We had updates from both TNA and Chris himself, and TNA asked that people respect his privacy. Obviously, we're going to cover the story, but just glad to hear he's in good spirits right now. Don't know what the future holds for him, but fortunately, there are a great number of people who have donated to a GoFundMe that was started by one of his friends. I'm told a lot of the wrestlers gathered together and just PayPal'd him as well help him with expenses. And I saw some people saying, well, why would he need that? Why would he need that? Listen, this is a very serious injury. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be able to wrestle. Mm-hmm. And when you work, I don't know, 30 weekends a year, you're not going to get a lot of life expenses covered just by that. He worked indies as well. Obviously, TNA and Anthem are going to be taking care of medical bills and all that stuff. Like, that's not even a question, but like, his life is changed at this point.
Sean, somebody said, can you post the GoFundMe link? Can we put that in the description of this YouTube?
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. We will do that. But just hope for the best for him. He's a guy that we've spoken to a number of times. I've talked to quite a bit in the past, just a great guy and an incredible talent. And just somebody that I'm glad to know, and hopefully he recovers.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I understand Vikingo was injured at the same taping.
Yeah, same knee that had him sidelined for a lot of the year. I didn't know that.
I didn't know it was the same one.
Oh, that's too bad. Unfortunately.
Okay.
But let's get into some super chats, Humper chats. Are we going to see D'Von Dudley on next week's NXT? Maybe if it's like a 1-3D thing, like he had some matches and they weren't great recently. And understandably so, the man went through a stroke. So Sir Brendo says, Jimmy, is Grappling with Grief still around?
It is still around. Yeah, grapplingwithgrief.com, grapgrief.com. I have a girl named Shandy who handles that for me. And admittedly, I've got her busy with other stuff. I was just talking to Sean off the air about that. I got her busy with other stuff. But yes, Grappling with Grief is still around. Complete nonprofit. I'll never make a dime from it. And it will never go away.
Emily says, have you heard if John Cena will have a match before the end of the year? Don't think he's had a match yet in 2024. He has had a match in 2024. He was on the Raw after Mania. And I know that, funny enough, I had tweeted last year, I think it was, that he was, or maybe it was 2 years ago, that he was dangerously close to not having a match for the first time in his career. And then he squeezed one in against the Bloodline on SmackDown. Then last year he worked a number of matches, but this year it was Awesome Truth and John Cena defeating Judgment Day. So he did have a match this year. They don't plan on it. They do expect him back for the Netflix debut, but as of now, I haven't heard of him having another match. It could happen, but Alex says, Sean, unrelated question to wrestling. My grandmother is dying from cancer. Only have a couple of weeks to a couple months left. Definitely want to see her before she goes. Not sure I'm ready to see her in her current state. Advice, been hard lately. Well, let me tell you, my friend, I didn't go through seeing her experience cancer, but funny enough, and not funny at all, I told a story on Grappling with Grief. I believe I'm the most viewed video on the channel, actually. But I had a friend who was very important to me, and she didn't want us to see her in the state that she was in. And for us, we didn't care. We just wanted to see her. It was very, very important for us to see her. And she was very self-conscious about losing her hair and all that stuff. That's why I grew mine out and eventually donated it. And I remembered when I got my hair cut, I was a little bit embarrassed of how I looked after I got my hair cut. And then I was like, wait, that's the point of all this is that if somebody cares about you, they shouldn't care how you look in that situation. This much I'll tell you, I never took more time off and more days off than the months leading to my grandmother passing away in April. And it accelerated very, very quickly. What I can tell you is I passed up on a lot of travel. I passed up on a lot of interviews. I passed up on a lot of details. And I don't remember any of them. Not one of them was as important to me as going to see her in those moments. I can't remember a single person that I said, I can't do this. As much as I can remember is that I flew home early. I flew home before the Royal Rumble because I wanted to spend her birthday with her. And other than that, I don't remember a single opportunity that I passed up in order to spend that time with her. And I know, I can tell you this, on Christmas, it was hard, man. I cried seeing how bad with dementia she was on Christmas. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And then I thought about it and I was like, it's not about me. It's about her. It's about what makes her comfortable and what makes her feel secure and what makes her feel better. And there were a lot of family members that did not go see her in her last weeks. And I can tell you that I look at them in a different light because they worried more about themselves than they did about her comfortability. And they can recover and feel comfortable. My grandmother can't. So always remember that. You will possibly regret time you don't spend with her. You will never regret time that you do spend with her.
I want to tell a similar story that I think will help this gentleman too. So my dad passed from cancer in 2018 when he was in palliative care. meaning that he was in his final days, he told me specific people that did not go visit him, some of his best friends that did not go visit him. And he remembered. And after he passed, we had a ceremony of life, and I saw one of the friends walk in. I beelined to him. And I looked him right in the eye, and I said, "Why didn't you go see him?" And he said to me what you just said. He said to me, "I didn't want to see him like that. I wanted to remember him for how he was." And I said, "All he asked was for you. Didn't matter what he looked like or the condition he was in. All he asked was for you." So I agree with what you're saying. Don't worry about what they're going to look like, because they, and even your friend, I'm sure deep down, she probably did want to see people. She was just self-conscious.
Of course.
You know, like they do want to see you when they know that their time is coming. And so don't worry about what they look like.
I have a major family fracture that I won't get into because of this, because their family that she took care of for a very long time that effectively abandoned her because they couldn't deal with it. And to me, I will always remember that. And I will stress to anybody that is ever questioning that, my wife with her grandfather right now, I'm like, "Listen, we live together. We can hang out anytime. You can, you have a defined amount of time that you might be able to spend with this family member." And there is no work. There is no sports game. There is no anything that can replace that at all. There's no other obligation. There is no nap that you're taking after work that will replace that. But Alex, I definitely encourage you, please go. You might not be ready, but I bet you she's ready to see you. And that's what's important. New Lack City says, "What's up, guys?" Actually, we're going to get to that one with the ID stuff. We're going to do that. And New Lack City says, "For no apparent reason, I want to let everybody know that my island, Puerto Rico, is beautiful, great place to visit, not full of garbage, contrary to an unpopular opinion. Prayers to Chris Bay, and can please donate to his GoFundMe." We greatly appreciate all the love and support sent to Chris Bay, and I agree with you, my friend. I agree with you. Will says, "That picture of Zaria, Julia, and Stephanie and Jordan Grace in the ring looked so crazy." So funny enough, Fightful Select, best $5 in the business, my friends, had reported Lita was originally pitched for that match. Listen, all due respect to Lita, Jordan Grace is a better option right now. People were excited to see Jordan Grace there.
What about the backstage when Rhea's there too? Like I did
see that.
They have NXT right now, and you can include Jordan Grace or not, since she's technically not a full-timer there. They got the best women's division in wrestling in NXT.
Yeah.
It is so crazy how deep
I'm glad that you said that, because we have a super chat. Does NXT have the best women's division right now? I think operating at a top high level,
it's
crazy. I'm going to have to say, you know what? They've got the most buzzworthy is what I'll say. Because right now you'll have Rhea popping up there. You got Jordan Grace popping up there. Then you have Julia, Zaria, Stephanie Vaquer. I mean, those are three brand new names that have just come in and completely reinvigorated that. Roxanne and Cora. Sour Patch says, "Love to live Raquel Rhea bit on NXT. Show me that this feud can still be savage if booked correctly on the main roster and still pulls number. Live Raquel should have been booked this strong from the jump. Raw booking." I saw Joel Pearl say it would kind of be cool to see Liv, the small girl, with Raquel as her muscle, and then Rhea, the big girl, with Jordan as her muscle. I was like, that's kind of a cool idea. I like that. But Sour Patch, I don't think that the Liv, Rhea, Raquel stuff has been booked poorly necessarily. It's just I don't think that WWE has done a good job in the interim building up contenders that are going to emerge from this. They haven't really been building a whole lot of anybody else up on Raw during this process. And I think that you really, really need to do that in order to let people know, okay, somebody's ready. Somebody's next. And like Mee Chin and Chelsea Green, that was a great undercard feud that they had over there while other stuff is going on. But far too many times we've seen Zelina, who I like in the ring, but just randomly, here's a title shot. Piper Niven, who I love in the ring, but like, here's a title shot. You're back home. I think that they need to do better than that.
Raw booking for me has been stagnant in general. I feel like they're waiting for the Netflix deal. And I couldn't believe it. Not that I want to get off topic with the women here, but I couldn't believe last week Damian Priest on Raw says, I'm done with Judgment Day last week. And then this Monday, hey, Dom, you're going to face a former world champion. I was convinced it was Drew McIntyre.
Outside, well, he's back home. He's in Europe right now.
Okay, but I just thought, why Damian Priest when he just said he's done with Judgment Day and then it was Damian Priest? It's like unbelievable. It's Raw booking has not been great.
The pitch somebody had about it being Goldberg was a good one, I thought. Right, I thought that was a great spot.
It would have been better. It would have been better. And I noticed people on social media were saying, you know, Dom's got so much heat, and yet the post-match when Damian beat him up, the crowd in Brooklyn was silent. Because they've seen it 10,000 times.
I gotta address this. I don't know what this person's... All due respect, Brandon Joseph. There is not 3 inches difference in Jordan and Rhea. Jordan Grace is listed at 5'3", and that is very generous. Rhea is listed at 5'7". However, she told me that she's grown since then. I've acted up. Yes. So what happened was they measured her when she first came over. And then she was very young then. She was like, what, 20, 21? She grew a little bit since then. So she's closer to like 5'9 now. Like she is not, because I would always call her the tallest 5'7 woman in the world. She's closer to 5'9 now. And Jordan Grace is a lot closer to 5'2 than she is 5'3. We're looking.
I was going to say, you can see them on camera on NXT. You could see it.
Yes. Like way different there.
Yeah.
Jordan's very, very short. All due respect to her. But the topic that everybody wants to talk about, WWE ID. We don't have a single super chat about Vince McMahon. We have a bunch of super chats about WWE ID. So, Jimmy, we got this press release from WWE yesterday, and I will read it verbatim.
Sure.
It says TKO announced the first of its kind developmental program designed to provide up and coming independent wrestlers a pathway to a potential career in WWE. The program will be called WWE ID, short for WWE Independent Development. And Triple H says WWE ID is the latest in our efforts to identify and support the journey of up and coming wrestlers, in turn raising the profile and strengthening of independent wrestling's ecosystem. Following the 2021 launch of WWE's NIL program, WWE ID has been constructed to support independent wrestling prospects and wrestling schools with world-class training, development, and mentorship. And it says WWE will provide prominent wrestling schools with the WWE ID designation, with the goal of providing new trainees and existing talents at these institutions enhanced developmental opportunities. Now, this is me both mentioning their press release and the connections there. Booker T has Reality of Wrestling, obviously NXT commentator. Cody Rhodes is Nightmare Factory, obviously Cody Rhodes is in WWE. Seth Rollins, Black and Brave Academy. And then there's Elite Pro Wrestling, which is in New Hampshire. I can give you one guess who that's tied to. Got a Triple H connection there. And then Knox Pro Wrestling Academy, which I'm still learning a lot about. And it says Rikishi's. Those are the first. Rikishi's, there you go. Yeah. Rikishi's, and obviously that's a bloodline connection there. But I mean, I was working to see if there's anybody tied to WWE that actively trains there. WWE ID will identify top indie wrestling prospects and give them an ID designation, support their developmental journey by providing financial opportunity and assisting with training, mentorship, and development, including access to world-class facilities, in-class ring training, athletic trainers, and more. And it gives fans the ability to follow them as well. We have a ton of questions about that. But Jimmy, your initial thoughts and we actually have some people wishing you the best on your loss, by the way. But
I appreciate that. I'll pass it to you.
What was your initial reaction to this, Jimmy?
Smart, strategic, and political.
Okay.
That's my reaction. So,
Do you think it's a way to keep talent away from AEW right off the bat?
Yes and no. So that's not the objective. The objective is not to keep talent from AEW. The objective is to create a global territorial system.
Yeah.
And that's why they're doing it. And let me say first, Elite Pro, I looked at the list of trainees that they've had. Mm-hmm. And they've had Ivar, Tommaso Ciampa, Kofi Kingston, Dijak, Damian Sandow, Darren Young. There's obviously a WWE connection to that one too. The trainers with Elite Pro are not current WWE superstars, but they've trained a lot of people. Yes. Let me say this. Do you remember back in 2018, Sean, Triple H did a presentation at the WWE Business Partner Summit, and he had a map of the world behind him on the big screen. Do you remember that? And that map of the world had NXT logos on specific areas like Japan and India and parts of Europe. And I think South America was even on there. And he coined the term global localization.
Yep.
Right. And that's what they talk about. Global localization. That is why they're doing WWE ID. WWE ID is part of the plan towards creating this global territorial system. I think they're looking to corner the market on top independent talent, and they're going to essentially monopolize independent wrestling. They're going to be able to cherry pick most of the top new independent talent, because most new trainees and existing trainees, they're going to want to associate with those schools to get financial assistance, right? And then there's other things like getting potentially fast track to NXT. That's going to be something that they're going to want. But the financial assistance is a big one. I think over time, WWE is going to add more schools in other countries to this program. So I think over time, you're going to find out they got new schools that have that designation in Europe and in Canada and Japan and everywhere else. And I think that they're looking to create a global territorial system. I want to say one thing, and then I'll throw it to you. I've seen people on social media villainize WWE for this, saying, oh, this is a corporate monopolizing monster, right? But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to say that. Just like you, I was involved with independent wrestling for a long, long time in Ontario, Canada. And I knew a lot of wrestlers who had all the tools to make it, right? They had the look, they were good in the ring, they could cut a promo. But just like you talked about earlier, they were lucky if they made $50 a match on weekends.
Yeah.
Many of them had families. That means that they had to have full-time jobs, and those full-time jobs hindered their development. It hindered their ability to train. It hindered their ability to get proper nutrition. If WWE ID had existed back then, those guys would have jumped ship from whatever school they were affiliated with to one of the WWE ID schools. They would have done it in a second. And that's what WWE wants, right? They want all of the top independent wrestlers to be affiliated with their schools. But the thing is, it's worth it to those wrestlers if they can get financial assistance, and if they can potentially get fast tracked to the WWE system. So this is very strategic. It's very political. They have an end game in mind with what they want to do, but at the same time, I think it's good for the talent. What are your thoughts?
There's a lot of wait and see on this, and I'm going to answer some questions, then get into my thoughts. JM Melagrito says, SRS Thurston said on a stream earlier that some indie talents are already with WWE. Do we expect that signed talent will have restrictions? Well, first off, Thurston would probably know. He was a trainer.
Yep.
He trained a lot of really great talent, and especially his geographical location.
Buffalo, New York,
Do I think they'll have restrictions? Yes, to some degree, but I don't know that for sure. Do they think WWE will have a say in availability and or rates for promotions and book the talent? So this is a big point of concern for me. I'll give you guys an example. Listen, me and Booker T had some not so great conversations months ago when I reported about Rachel Rose being fired because she was stalked by a person who formerly went to that company or showed up at that company. It was a mess. I encourage you to read the entire writing. Booker felt like that story only emerged because he had a talk with his students and wrestlers about being loyal to Reality of Wrestling. And what being loyal meant to him was not working for New Texas Pro, which was also in Houston. To me, the way I explained to Booker, like, Booker, listen, yes, that can be what motivated this story to emerge, but it doesn't make the story untrue. So first off, you have a very talented and successful man, Booker, who I respect greatly for his contributions to wrestling, telling wrestlers that are barely getting paid much of anything, mm-hmm. by the way, I don't want you to work this other place in one of the biggest cities in the world. Now, if you are being reimbursed appropriately to do that, fine. If you want to offer somebody an amount of money that they go, you know what? That's worth it to me to not work this other place. By all means, do it. But if you're limiting and basically saying, yeah, well, if you want your opportunity to still make less than you should be, don't go work this other place. To me, that is not independent. That is not the spirit of independent wrestling. That is lame. The territory system does not exist anymore. I can't tell you how many times I would work for a shindy that would get mad for another shindy running their territory. Well, then pay people to not do it. There you go. Do what all these other places did, get successful, and pay them not to do it. WWE needs to have some oversight on that. They need to have some oversight to make sure that people aren't losing opportunities as a result of this. And Brian says, do you think WWE ID means NXT wrestlers will wrestle indie shows as a way to recruit like they visit schools? I could see NXT talent being sent to independent shows to wrestle WWE ID approved talent. I could absolutely see that happening. And then we got DNC Digital says, do you think WWE will have a say in any availability? Or I think I read that one. Yes, I do think so. I don't think that we're going to be seeing WWE ID talent wrestling for AEW. Mm-hmm. But the big question is, Jimmy, what are these WWE ID talent going to be saying to promoters? Oh, well, I can't lose because of my ID designation. Like, that needs to be established. Like, that ain't a thing. You don't have a say in that. The promoter has the say in that. But all these schools are connected to WWE stuff. I would like to know what the financial assistance is.
Yeah, me too.
I would like to know how this affects the rates for those schools. I would like to know how this affects, a lot of talent. I've had one long-term promoter that said, yeah, it's a great thing. I've had some other trainers that are feeling very sour grapes about the situation and aren't liking it. But there's still a lot to learn here.
Obviously, if you are a competitive independent promotion, you're not going to like it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the one you just talked about in Texas, Booker's got an upper hand now, right? Yeah. Because if you can offer, and I agree with you, I want to see what the financial assistance looks like. Because to me, that's the biggest one. Again, knowing indie wrestling as long as I have and knowing the guys that were in it making peanuts on weekends, that's big if you're getting financial assistance. But if that financial assistance is $100 a week, it's not going to do anything, right?
Dante says, ID sounds like it will homogenize pro wrestling, making wrestlers similar, ruining schools that don't want to play ball. It's suspect at the moment. It's a wait and see for me, but here's how I feel about that. What happened the last time wrestling got homogenized by WWE? What happened the last time when you turned on SmackDown and you had Kenzo Suzuki and Luther Reigns and all these people wrestling exactly the same? What happened 12 years ago when wrestlers were limited so much in what they could do? There was an indie explosion. The mid-2000s, early to mid-2000s, when that became a thing, indie explosion. Last year or last decade, indie explosion and a new company developed out of it. If WWE homogenizes pro wrestling, they will always have their audience, just like AEW always has their audience. But what they'll do is cultivate competition. They will cultivate a strength in the indies elsewhere. GCW is not going to change what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're successful right now. And funny enough, I interviewed Brett Lauderdale before this, but I talked to him and he's like, man, I always expect something to change. I always expect to have to adapt. I always expect to have to work around something. Just got to work around those parameters and all that stuff.
And you got to remember that they can't employ everybody, right? And that's why when somebody just asked, are they doing this to keep wrestlers from away from AEW? That's why I just don't think that's the objective. That might be a side result.
Yeah.
But that's not the objective. The objective is to globalize the world, global localization, like they talked about.
Love how much I spend on a webcam and it just goes out of focus.
I noticed that.
How will AEW counter WWE ID? I don't think they will. I just think they're going to continue to do what they do. They've got 100 and some people under contract, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, WWE can't employ everybody. So,
yeah. Ryan says people worry all wrestlers will conform to the WWE style, even if it did. It sparks innovation and indies have been stagnant already. Right now, I see a big disparity. I see there are probably a dozen women's wrestlers that I could name right now that you could take off the indies, put on NXT TV, and they would immediately look like they belong on NXT TV. I can't say that's the case with men right now. I think that there does need to be some evolution and some expansion in that regard. I don't know if this will push people, discourage people, encourage innovation or anything like that. But I think that in order to be a pro wrestler and to get into that line of work and to quite honestly go through the starving artist years of your career, you have to be a creative person. Very rarely do you run into people like that that aren't creative.
And, I mean, the one thing I do like about it in terms of this whole homogenizing the style, one thing I like about it is that they've got different trainers at different schools. For good or bad. Like, I don't know how much of the day-to-day Booker does. I'm sure he's got guys that handle the day-to-day, right, in terms of in the ring. But you're going to have some people training in his school. You're going to have some training with Cody's school, some with Seth Rollins' school, some with Rikishi's school. So I think the styles are going to be a little different. You're not going to have every wrestler coming up with the exact same style. So yep. I'm with you. For me, again, the financial assistance is the biggest one. And I want to wait and see when that comes out. What kind of numbers are we looking at? And if it's peanuts, it's not going to make a big difference.
Mr. Acosta says, how can someone look at NXT and think it will homogenize wrestling? And brings up Javon Evans and Kalani Jordan. I mean, Evans came from the indies, friend. Like, he was on the indies fairly recently. So it wasn't like he developed there at the Performance Center. Now, Mr. Acosta, I saw a thing where people said, well, this is proof the Performance Center doesn't work. And I'm like, you are out of your mind. Like, you think they haven't made their money back on Braun Breaker, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, the Street Profits, Bianca, Trick, Oba Femi, Baron Corbin, even people like that. They've made dozens of stars there. Not only that, like, there are a lot of people that came from FCW, which was basically Performance Center Lite, and became the biggest stars in the company. So I think that's going well.
The other thing you got to remember, sorry to cut you off, Sean. The other thing to remember, they have brought independent wrestlers that didn't have television experience into the PC to give them television experience. And I distinctly remember, do you remember when Finn Balor was signed? When Finn Balor was signed, I remember seeing videos of him in NXT where Hunter was showing him where the hard cam was.
Yeah.
And Finn Balor, for all of his years of experience wrestling in Japan and wrestling in Europe, he had never experienced American television and he had never experienced how to work the hard cam that way. So a lot of these independent wrestlers, they don't have that proper television experience.
Is there nothing on NXT Europe anymore? I haven't heard an update on that in a long time. That is, they have been kicking the can down the road on that one for sure. For sure. Should wrestlers be educated in business to understand situations like WWE ID and the wrestling industry? Jimmy, talent is one thing. Industry variety is key. Well, right now we are not educated on the ID thing. Like, we're still gathering information, and there are going to be elements of this that evolve and get different. And there's going to be some that are misreported because some indie wrestlers will hear things and tell some people things. And then there's going to be jealousy that emerges from this. It's going to be a tough one to cover. We're going to get some details on it, but it'll be tough to cover.
I will say this, though. He asked about, should wrestlers learn about like the business side of things? Mm-hmm. And I think back to Lex Luger. Lex Luger, I think, might have been the first pro wrestler that had an agent. Do you remember? He's talked about it. And it's because he came from the sports world, so he had an agent. And that led a path where now you had Jesse Ventura and I think Mick Foley and all these guys along the way used agents. If I was a full-time pro wrestler, I would absolutely learn the business end of wrestling, and I would absolutely surround myself with the right people. And I sure as hell would not go into a negotiation with WWE by myself.
Matthew Hook says, WWE TKO has a history of underpaying talent. Well, I mean, WWE is certainly appropriately paying talent right now. I've been reporting on those contract situations, but yeah, I mean, WWE also has a history of being underpaid by television networks and the like. TKO, yeah, certainly. The Francis Ngannou situation, like, we should be talking about Francis Ngannou and John Jones having their second fight by now, much less what we're experiencing. But with WWE, you can give them the benefit of the new regime, but I'll tell you a story about the old regime, Jimmy. So back in the day, they'd pay Edge and Christian before they came here to go get reps on the indies. They knew those guys were going to be good, and they were paying them to get their reps. But Matt Riddle blew through a WWE tryout, like, embarrassed the tryout that they intentionally make hard. People had told me that nobody made more a joke of that tryout than Matt Riddle did, to the point where he was quite physically making jokes about it. Like, that was a great warm-up, guys, after the tryout was done, because he had competed at the highest levels of MMA in the UFC and was had done really well. WDB were like, well, we're going to sign this guy. Then they go and they see, you know, they did the appropriate research. Oh no, the weed. Now, granted, there's plenty of things to criticize him or side eye him over now, but at the time it was OMG weed. And they pulled what they were going to plan on. They pulled the offer effectively. He goes, that's fine. I'll go work for ROH. And they're like, whoa. Let's not do that. Let's not do anything that crazy, like going to Ring of Honor or going to TNA or anything like that. What we'll do is we'll set you up with WWN and Evolve. And if you remember, that's why Riddle was wrestling on Flow Slam nonstop. That's why he was wrestling on Evolve all the time. It's because WWE had effectively told him, we would much rather you work for this company than that company, and then we'll keep our eye on you accordingly. And Riddle wrestled probably 100 matches for Evolve and WWN and their partner companies over the course of, gosh, I want to say like a year and a half or so. And he did not wrestle for Ring of Honor. He did not wrestle for New Japan. He didn't do any of that stuff.
Did they incent him financially? Do you know?
Don't know. Okay. That was one of the things I would always ask him on our show. But then what happened? Ring of Honor and New Japan announced their Madison Square Garden show. And it was very clear. At that moment, AEW was not yet a thing. But mm-hmm. what we did know at that point, All In sold out. And they were announcing ROH, New Japan, Madison Square Garden. Because I remember that week. And that's the week they hit up Matt Riddle and they said, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and get you signed. We're going to get you signed up, bring you onto the company. They also called a guy by the name of Hulk Hogan and said, welcome back to the family. We don't really want to risk you going out and waving in front of a Madison Square Garden crowd.
Right.
So, I mean, it is cause and effect for a lot of this stuff. And if they can get away with something like putting somebody under their thumb for a defined amount of time, that's what that regime did. Mm-hmm. And that's what they would go with. And they felt like they could. And for a while they did, until they felt like competition was coming. Then they changed it with Samoa Joe was never supposed to be a contracted WWE talent. Then when ROH started to use him a lot more, they're like, shit, let's get him under contract. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jared says Vince is gone, but WWE still hates competition. They absolutely do. Like, I know there are a lot of conspiracy theories about how WWE and WWE PR does business, but there are some people in that company that do things like that. And to me, I don't think a winning franchise needs to do those things. But this, I see people say, well, this is selfish on WWE's part. Hell yeah, it's selfish. They're trying to run a business. They're trying to run a business, and I get it. But I think that the independent circuit will always prevail. It will always prevail. There'll be some novelty there for sure.
But the thing is, I don't know how many trainees they have on average at these schools. They're not putting them all under this program.
Sure.
Like, they're not.
I mean, so listen, there are some people that show up at these schools, and day one, you know, they ain't never going to be there. But by God, if that's what they want to do and they want to spend their money.
Right.
Sure. New Lack City says, what's up, guys? Tell me why this ID thing will not be another debacle like NXT UK. Don't let WWE guys gaslight us. Besides Rev Pro, the UK indie scene hasn't fully recovered. I mean, there's more than just Rev Pro. There's a couple others. But as best we know, this isn't them under full-time contracts. But right now, we don't know that this won't cause something similar to that. Here's the difference. I saw a lot of people saying, I don't say a lot of people, I saw some people saying, oh, well, WWE's the NFL and the NBA. And, you know, if they, that's where everybody wants to go. Well, no, there are no football leagues or basketball leagues paying comparably to the NBA and the NFL. And guess what, Jimmy? There used to be. And what happened then? You had people going and playing for the USFL. And you had people going and playing for the ABA until they merged. In the WNBA, there are more financially rewarding opportunities overseas, which is why you see so many players go and play series overseas and things like that. WWE has AEW. AEW pays comparably. The AEW is not going to have trouble signing people as a result of this. WWE still has people actively leaving that company Mm-hmm. Over the last year, despite about what you want to say about asses in seats or viewership falling, last 13 months or so, Adam Copeland left WWE, Bobby Lashley left WWE, Ricochet left WWE. Those things happened. Competition is good, and this is another way that WWE hopes to compete. I have reason to side-eye it, but we'll see. We'll see. Let's get to some super chats and anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west. Upper chats, but first, let's hear from our good partners at Nord. I'm traveling a lot, and when you travel, you got to protect your data. You got to protect your privacy online. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows me to do that, allows me to browse safely and securely. When you go to an airport, when you go to an arena, a restaurant, a hotel, you're usually connecting to that unsecured Wi-Fi, which leaves you susceptible to having your data stolen, any number of things taken from your private connection or what should be your private connection. NordVPN.com/Fightful makes it a private connection with the fastest VPN in the world, a 30-day money-back guarantee, and a ton of other features in addition to that peace of mind that you get when you can browse safely and securely. And I'm talking all your devices, Surface Pro, laptop, desktop, PC, smart TV, router, phone, whatever you're taking with you, NordVPN.com/Fightful will add extra layers of security to your digital life. You can get a password manager, a file encryption tool. Be safe, be smart. NordVPN.com/Fightful. We just tentatively agreed to extend our Nord partnership into 2025. Very excited about that. If you like what we do, please go check them out and support them, because they have been our biggest sponsor for years, by and large. Many of the new podcasts that exist on Fightful, we were able to basically pay for those because of Nord. Speaking of, Van Twinblade says, just want to let you guys know, the best podcast on Fightful, Grapsody, has a free Discord. Reg, Phil, and Cresta are all there. All are welcome. They do great work. They do incredible work. New Lack City says, Jimmy, I know you think WWID is not about AEW, but do you think if there was no AEW, this would have happened? That's a good question.
Yes.
Oh, but forces other promotions, MLW, GCW, AEW, to invest in the indie scene and talent that are struggling. Yes. I don't expect WWID talent to wrestle for MLW either, considering MLW successfully sued WWE.
Yeah. You got to remember that business partner summit when Hunter talked about their plan for global localization. That was 2018. That was pre-AEW. So this is something that they've wanted to do for a long time. And obviously the pandemic got in the way of that. And now everything is kind of back to normal. Now, maybe they decided to go the independent route because of AEW, because before they were just going after college athletes, right?
Yeah.
With NIL. Maybe they decided to go the independent route now because of AEW. But I think they would have done this even without AEW, because again, they want a global territory. That is the vision.
DNC Digital says, does this conflict or line up with the IP ownership thing in terms of their indie names and keeping it after leave WWE and WWE renames you? Well, let me tell you, a complete moron that Jimmy knows really didn't understand this to the point to where someone else, you know, reached out and said, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with him, which is very funny to me. But there were some clarifications regarding this. If you had that indie name before you went to WWE, WWE cannot retain that, only in very extreme circumstances. For example, Christian Cage is Christian Cage because WWE had Christian. He used Christian Cage before that. There are some ways to get around it, but like Ethan Page, if he leaves tomorrow, he can be Ethan Page,
right,
wherever he wants to be. They have tried to get around that a couple times. It hasn't worked. The IP ownership thing, I think that's like begging for a lawsuit eventually.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine now if these independent wrestlers are being told, here's your new name, working for Reality of Wrestling? That'd be something. I don't see that happening. They'd have to be under full-time contract, I think, unless they really, really want that financial assistance. Otherwise, that'd be something.
So let's talk about the Vince thing, because in the event that you need to hit the bricks at 3, we've still got a bunch of super chats, humper chats. PW Insider reported something. I heard it speculated, and I'm not saying, I would have reported this back then. It was speculated a couple months ago, and I'm going to have a lot more details following this show at FightfulSelect.com. Please go over there and subscribe. A lot of details about this, but a person that worked with Vince for a long time said, Sean, I think that there's a reason why this person left WWE. And the only reason I could see them leaving this position is if Vince had something else lined up for them. And I was like, I kind of just like, okay, yeah, sure. What were your thoughts when PW Insider reported that Vince McMahon, as he is facing federal investigation and multiple lawsuits, is now trying to start an entertainment hub company that would finance, produce, develop TV shows and films? And do you think he considered a football league or a bodybuilding federation?
I joked on Twitter. I said, is his first project going to be the Extreme Bodybuilding League Federation?
Yes.
Traditionally
successful outside of wrestling, this guy.
Yeah. Do you remember when he promoted a Donnie Lalonde boxing match, Sean?
I remember Bruce Pritchard talking about it though.
Yeah, he did. Vince is kind of like that nugget that won't flush, you know? So what do I think? I think that number one, this is just my opinion, because I obviously haven't talked to him. I think number one, he wants to remain relevant. And I think number two, he doesn't want the negativity and the Netflix documentary to be his legacy, because he's too narcissistic. So I think he's hoping that this new company is going to be this major success and he's going to look like a genius again, because everybody's painting him like the senile, dirty old man. All I got to say is I hope he's got a good brain trust, because do you want Vince McMahon, given what we saw creatively in WWE over the last decade, do you want Vince McMahon to be the guy that's green lighting television and film projects? So I hope he's got a good brain trust behind this thing. He's got the money, but I hope
I will say this. It's his money. He can do whatever he wants with it. Nothing wrong with being ambitious and trying things.
Sure.
He has tried this before and it didn't go well. He tried football twice. It didn't go well. So he's very clearly a guy that is like, I'll try something more than once. I'll try it twice.
Yeah. Don't forget WWE New York. Remember that one?
WWE New York, the restaurant business. Of course. Yeah. Now Ico Pro. The Ico Pro, the supplement business. There are a lot of branches of WWE and merchandising elements that obviously have worked for him. But by and large, it's the WWE and the confines of WWE that worked for him. Now, I'm definitely not saying stay in your own lane and don't be ambitious.
But sure.
Listen, yeah. This man's like 80 now.
Yeah.
He's like 80 now. I cannot imagine this succeeds in a post-Harvey Weinstein world. And I'll give you a little spoiler for my Fightful Select report here. One source told me there are definitely people desperate enough to take his money right now, because that's the nature of Hollywood. And there's some people that don't care, but they would be very surprised if this isn't just him being like, spend it while I got it type of thing. And
you know what this reminds me of? Do you remember when Ricky Gervais hosted the Golden Globes the last time? The videos have gone viral because he didn't give two shits, because he knew it was the last time. And so he made fun of everything. And one of the things that Ricky Gervais said was, with all the content was streaming, he said, if ISIS called you because ISIS had a production opportunity, you'd be calling your agent, wouldn't you? That's what Gervais said to the actors in the crowd. I look at it the same way. if Vince McMahon's production company calls you and says, I have this opportunity and you're going to make millions of dollars, are you going to not take the call? You're going to take the call.
Sure. I mean, personally, I wouldn't.
No, but like a lot of actors would, for sure.
Yes.
For sure they would.
But I mean, like this is, I mean, you know what? This isn't the second time he's done this either, because he did No Holds Barred.
That's right. I wonder how that's done, because like they back then they had tape rentals and all that stuff. They had other revenue streams back then. I wonder how that did.
I mean, like the list of things that he has failed at, quite frankly, is like more astounding when you really think about it. Because just off the things that have just popped up into my head again. Tout, he tried his own social media thing. It didn't work. Minor League Hockey. Do you remember the Cape Cod Buccaneers?
That was the first thing, wasn't it?
That was the first thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, No Holds Barred, WDB Films and Studios didn't work. Of course, pouring all the money into Linda's political aspirations didn't work, didn't get her elected. It got eventually her name to Trump's cabinet, but that would have happened regardless of that.
Yeah, because they had the super PAC, yeah.
Football twice, bodybuilding, the restaurant. There was the hotel and casino, was there not? Didn't they do that?
Vaguely remember that. I don't know if it ever got off the ground. I know they had talked
exactly
about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think he even tried Linda's Senate run twice.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like we're talking about like a dozen things that had to have cost millions of dollars.
They spent billions of dollars. And I saw somebody said XFL didn't work out the second time because of COVID. With all due respect to The Rock, XFL is not working out with him either yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They merged with, what's the other one called? USFL?
AAF, I think it was. AFL? Yeah.
They merged now because
or whatever the hell
neither
it was.
One of them were working. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Terry Allen asks, comfortable link for Raw, 2 hours, 30 minutes, Jimmy. Soon we'll tweet at Netflix, Triple H and hoping the women receive a greater spotlight. What's your ideal time for Raw?
2 hours.
2 hours, huh?
But it's not going to be. Nah. But that would be fantastic. Yeah.
Is Alpha Entertainment still a thing with TKO?
Not familiar.
I forgot all about Alpha Entertainment. That was the separate entity from WWE that was, I think, 2017. That's what the launched the XFL.
Oh, so it was like the parent of the XFL?
Yes.
And I don't remember.
Sold like 100 million of stock. I don't know.
No, I don't remember anymore.
Tom says, late to the show, would a student at one of the selected schools have the right to turn down a prospect designation and remain at said school? As far as I understand, yes. But again, this is so very early. I'm still working to find as many details as I can. The only thing that I even heard like on background from WWE is it's still very early in the process.
The only way that I could ever envision a wrestler turning that down is if they were so... they'd come along so far as a talent that they're ready to get signed, say, with AEW now kind of thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would they turn it down? None of them would.
Can you see path now to a women's War Games?
Not on the main roster.
Not on the main roster. It'd be like an NXT collaborative thing, maybe.
That's right. That's right.
Maybe. Yeah. Let me make sure. Check on these super chats, humper chats. Go ahead and get them in, guys. If Jimmy has to take off, I am answering all of them.
Yeah,
but
I want to ask you one more thing before I go.
Yeah.
When Bobby Lashley got together with the Street Profits, and I think you know where I'm going. And for weeks and weeks on this podcast at that time, I said, they got to get Bianca. They got to get Bianca. They need a woman in the group. They got to get Bianca. And they didn't. And I was like, why wouldn't you get Bianca? Well, Bobby Lashley answered it on a podcast. Bianca did not want to turn heel. And I thought, okay.
Hopefully that's not like a permanent thing. I mean, listen, she is genuinely one of the sweetest, like nicest people you'll ever run into. Like,
yeah, Lashley on a podcast, and I apologize to the podcast name because I don't remember, but he said that they actively pitched to Bianca to join the group. Yeah. She didn't want to turn heel.
I mean, like she's always there doing community events. She's a wonderful human being in my experience.
And a lot of little girls look up to her, right? She's a great ambassador for that company.
Of course. I could understand that, but man, there's some creative satisfaction in her being a heel.
I agree. I got to go. So enjoy the rest of the show.
See you, Jimmy. Thanks, folks. Stay here and answer super chats and humper chats. My friends, if you guys, let me pull this bad boy off of here. If you guys want more Q&A stuff, I am over on our Discord every single day on Fightful Select, giving you guys all kinds of answers and all that. And every Monday, I do a Q&A show. Thoughts on the Vince McMahon news? I don't think it'll go that far, but I do have an update coming on Fightful Select. Ryan says, prospect tag makes scouting easier for AEW as well. It definitely does let you know who is who WWE's got their eye on, who they don't. And I mean, from the AEW perspective, and this is me playing devil's advocate here, AEW could be like, well, who are we negotiating against? If you don't have this WWE tag, then we know that WWE doesn't at least think of you as a prospect, so to speak. Do you see AEW get a separate HQ outside of Jag Stadium and start to have more building base? No, I think that considering the geographical location of Jacksonville and the population there, I think that that's the perfect area considering it is always, it's like most people in, if there's a storm, you got a place where, you know you can go to if there's the apocalypse. AEW knows they can go to Jacksonville if there's an apocalypse. You know what I mean? Are you excited for Shelton Swerve prediction? I think Swerve will win. I think this or next week is where Lashley could show up. It is a prediction, not a report. If he does debut, whenever he debuts, we will have a report on Fightful Select about it. Shelton Benjamin is my favorite wrestler of all time. Period, point blank, end of story. My favorite wrestler of all time. Swerve has been one of my favorite performers, if not my favorite, over the last year and a half. This is top five excitement for a Dynamite match for me. And a lot of that has to do with how much I like Shelton Benjamin. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. Please leave us the thumbs up if you guys are here as well. I would greatly appreciate that. RJ Suburb says, listening about 10 minutes behind, 40-year-old guy in the gym bawling my eyes out, listening to both of you offer wonderful advice dealing with grief. Well done, and thank you, Fightful. Listen, I know that especially in recent years, people have said a lot of stuff about me being volatile, threatening to fight people in the DMs is a funny one. Listen, man, I realized when my grandmother passed that every decision I have made over the last however many years has had her in mind. Like every financial decision, every trip that I've went on, all that. And nothing will be able to replace the void that I feel as a result of that. Since then, I have not, and since she passed, I have not cried. I have not screamed. I have not yelled. I have yet to have that outburst of emotion as of yet. Like, and I don't think it will fully hit me until the end of this year. And you know, I'll probably do a lot of reflecting there, but it showed me how fortunate I am to be where I am and have, like, I took a couple days off Twitter until the Triple H thing happened. And then I saw like dozens, if not hundreds of messages from our readers and our viewers and people in wrestling. And I'm like, man, there's a whole lot of people that don't have this, that don't have that support system. And I was like, you know what? In fact, I went back through my DMs yesterday because I had to show somebody something that happened like a year ago. And I came across all those messages and I was like, man, this really puts it in perspective, like the support system that I have and, you know, the people that are there for me. And that's very, very important. And my grandmother was a person that was there for me. Unfortunately, my wife lost a teenage cousin to suicide right after that, lost her father right after that. Unfortunately, it looks like we got another family member that, you know, might be in for a rough time soon, but you cannot replace the time that you have with your family and the relationships that you have. So any advice I would have is like, listen, make sure you spend those times with them. I mean, it's just, there's no replicating it. After seeing CJ Perry Instagram with Lana resurrecting Rusev, any updates on AEW and Miro? Well, she is not with she's not with AEW, but he's looking at to get out. He doesn't want to be there anymore, and I have not heard that he's been granted his release as of yet. RJ Suburb said this week's AEW had a lot of extra production on it. Do you think AEW would benefit from more? RJ, thanks for Fightful. I think they're going to do more meal in a match. He works creatively in AEW. He does the pre-shows. He does AEW, so he already does an awful lot of stuff. I can tell you that interviewing RJ City, for me, I think first off, it was important for me because it showed a lot of people in the wrestling business that they could do interviews like RJ did with me, and they still get them the promotion and sort of buzz and articles and stuff that they seek out. You know what I mean? There's a whole lot of people that are like, oh, I just want to come on and push this one product. RJ sat down with me, talked some shit. And as a result, I've had people asking me ever since to do stuff with RJ, whether it be interviews or Quizzlemania or whatever. That interview was so good and so fun that there is often a tether there between people asking me to do stuff with him. A brilliant guy. Brilliant guy. Had you heard about that Lashley Gunther thing before? I had not. I heard about a story where Lashley wanted to get really, really, really fat, though. And people in WWE were like, do you have any idea how long it would take for you to get as fat as you want to be to do this storyline? Listen, now, here's what I think is dumb. A lot of people are using this like, well, it's a good thing WWE left him go. He ain't in creative. This man is going to have Will Washington writing for him, who wrote one of the best storylines in wrestling history last year. He's going to be okay. And listen, Will will tell you if an idea sucks. He tells people at AEW all the time, from what I understand. He's told me my ideas sucked in the past. So listen, man, if Lashley pitches something that is stupid, he's going to hear about it. Crispy Chris says, out of all the crazy wrestling stories you've reported, what one do you think shocked you the most? Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, listen, what we will do is exclude stuff that involves sexual misconduct and those types of things, because obviously those are shocking. There were two back-to-back. Stone Cold Steve Austin returning to pro wrestling and Cody Rhodes leaving AEW and immediately them knowing he's going to WWE. Those were two of the craziest ever. And CM Punk, obviously, which, by the way, if you guys want to know how that story developed, emerged, everything, I did a Fightful Tells All on Fightful Select where I break down how that story worked. And getting the CM Punk news, this is the importance of going to a show in person. I had a sort of in plain sight meeting with a person that knew him, and I walked up to him and I said, CM Punk, Chicago, AEW, this many years, this amount of money, this is when he shows up. And that person, based on their reaction, said, how do you know that? And then the dominoes started to fall. Any update on Alexa returning? They think that she's going to return. They just don't know when. I had heard from people that, like, they could, like, in the fall it could happen. But that was months ago, and she still hasn't shown up. Penny Davis, I see that you sent this, but I don't see a chat associated with it. Max on a plane, too. That's a story that one day I will do a Fightful Tells All on as well. Because, like, somebody booked that plane ticket for him. I've still got evidence of that. Like, very, very rarely do I ever, and I mean ever, utilize those types of sources. But what my theory is on that one is that somebody that cared about him was like, if you need to get out, I'll get you out. And I won't blow that cover necessarily yet. But yeah, that was, man. That was something. That was something. Penny, I think that one cut off, my friend, but I'll hang around for another minute or so, see if you have a question, Penny. But if not, we'll have to wrap up in a moment. But if you don't get your question answered, just reach out to me or Kyler on Twitter, and we'll make sure it's read on the AEW show or something like that. But guys, check out our great sponsors, NordVPN, as well as Blue Chew. We would greatly appreciate that. Please leave a thumbs up and share this video. Listen, I know we've been around for a long time, but you guys sharing the video helps us so much, because obviously Twitter nerfs our engagement when we post links and all that stuff. I am on Blue Sky or Sky Blue, whatever the hell it is, one of those. at Sean Ross Sapp. Fightful is over there now as well. But we are using shorts a lot more on YouTube. So if there's a breaking news story, a lot of times I'm just firing up my phone, recording a quick little video, and uploading it to our shorts, our reels, something like that. Like, for example, we had the stuff on Vince McMahon's new company. You know, a lot of things like that we're doing shorts on. We had a Big Show short, a Paul White short that crossed 1 million views. Incredible. If I go to shows and do some event stuff, we are posting shorts there, but also Instagram, TikTok. We're on all these platforms, guys. We don't promote them as well as maybe we should, but yeah. And also podcast platforms everywhere. It would mean an awful lot. If you have interest in sponsoring the Fightful Awards, contact Kate. She is arranging that. But by God, my friend, we greatly appreciate any. Somebody says the irony of a Paul Wall short or Paul White short. I wish I had a Paul Wall short. I wish I could interview Paul Wall. For the love of God, that would be great. Have him rate the best grills in wrestling. That would be wonderful. Can you link the CM Punk post? So here's what I'll do, Victor. End an update, like the next update we do on Fightful Select, I will post a link to that, and that way you guys will have access to it. But Penny Davis, I'm sorry. I waited around about 5 minutes for this, but if you're able to send your question in, let me know. Until next time, guys, we're out.